Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 14th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 5, the fourth paragraph that begins with, I woke up. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will be reading the 12 steps, Kim T. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Margaret D., Lisa B., and Kara L. The share ID for Sunday, September 13th, the special edition, is 15,344. That's 15344. This morning's Monday, September 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 15,347. 15347. Our newcomer greeter for today is Betsy H., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Shelley E., would you please read the 12 steps for us?
Sure will. Good morning. This is Shelley E. I'm so sorry. I'm getting ready to sneeze. I recovered overeater in Northern Michigan. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. Kim T., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Sure. Good morning. This is Kim T. from Northern Michigan, the compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance or lend the OA name to any related facility outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should forever remain non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 5, the fourth paragraph that begins with, I woke up. And good morning, Margaret D. Can you get us started, please?
Good morning. This is Margaret D. I'm grateful to be a recovered compulsive eater, and I'm in Georgia. I woke up. This had to be stopped. I saw I could not take so much as one drink. I was through forever. Before then, I had written lots of sweet promises, but my wife happily observed that this time I meant business, and so I did. Well, I have to throw a disclaimer out here first that I have, when it comes to recovery, I have never had an original thought or action. But with that being said, here are some of the things that I did, because I was certainly through with it forever. So some of the things that I did was I picked out inspirational words to just keep repeating on either a daily, monthly, or weekly basis, like acceptance or surrender. I told myself every morning, I will have only one serving of whatever it is. Another behavior was reading only the Big Book, no talking to others, just reading the Big Book and then trying to make sense of it by myself. This was also a really wonderful thing, carrying the Big Book with me, but never opening it up and reading it, taking phone numbers from meetings, but never calling anybody, having a sponsor, but not using that connection, not listening to what I was asking to be told, going to meetings without working the steps, only working the steps I wanted to work. Generally, I used to start balking at step 3 so I wouldn't have to do step 4. Taking different routes home or to wherever my errands were routed so that I wouldn't have to go by my binge parlors, a fast food joint or a restaurant or a grocery store. Eating fruit products or only products that were sweetened with fructose instead of sugar. Staying up later at night so I could eat again. And then the plan was I won't eat breakfast in the morning. I snuck food when no one was around. I snuck food when people were around. I used a food plan, which avoided certain dangerous foods, but it was just a food plan and it wasn't really practicing abstinence. And just doing that by itself without doing working the steps or, trying to get in conscious contact with my higher power. I've got like 8 or 9 more. I'm sure we've all done them. But the biggest thing about doing these things, writing all these sweet promises, is that my ego was still in charge and my self-will was still operating at this point. And it was doomed, all those efforts were doomed for failure. They were great actions or whatever, but until I started to rely on my higher power 100%, I had one foot nailed in the ground and I was just going around in circles. So I hope that is helpful to somebody. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Margaret D. Okay, although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on the fifth, page 5, the fourth paragraph that begins with, I woke up?
Larry G. from Northern California.
Larry G.
Kara L.
Carrie G.
Lorraine N. Kathy C.
Okay, we'll stop there then. I have Larry G, Kara L, Carrie G, Lorraine N, and Kathy C. Good morning, Larry. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, and thank you for giving service. My name is Larry G. I'm from Northern California. We're beginning now to see that Bill is halfway to his bottom. He's now realizing that he's a goner if he doesn't stop drinking. And he's making real promises now, like the child whistling in the wind who's in fear. On page 24, it says, our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of suffering, humiliation of even a week or month ago. And like Bill, I have made those promises many times, coming off a prodigious binge where it took me 2 or 3 days now to recover from the amount of sugar and flour. And I'd be making the same promises. I'm going to get right back in the program. I'm going to start weighing and measuring. I'm going to double up my meetings. And by Thursday or Friday, did not have the sufficient willpower. It was practically non-existent to recall with some force of memory the last binge, and I would be back in the food again. And that cycle repeated over and over and over again. I was at the point where I was battle weary. And on May 17th, I finally surrendered. And that's what is going to happen for Bill. We'll see that later on. He will finally surrender and have a spiritual experience. And I had a spiritual experience on May 17th of this year and was advised to come to this meeting. I was told by my sponsor, a person that I did not know who became my sponsor, vision sponsor, who suggested this meeting. And the words that I had in my head were, I said this, oh my God, not another friggin' meeting. I just want the secret sauce. So anyway, I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. Good morning, Kara L. Go ahead. It's your turn, followed by Carrie G.
Good morning. This is Kara L. Thank you to Team Monday for bringing us this meeting today. As previously stated, Bill had always been able to do whatever he put his mind to. He was a very intelligent man. He was a very driven man. And this is it. This had to be stopped. I saw I could not take so much as one drink.
I identify, I mean, the reason I love reading Bill's story is to help me identify, to help me remember what it was like, to help me see that I need my higher power every day and in every way. Because I have said those same words, this has to stop. And I said them every morning. And I would get up and I would take action for it to stop. And then that action would disappear because I was in my own will, trying to solve my own problem with my own self-will. And it was out. I had no power. I was like that battery that needed to be charged. I had to plug into the wall. I had to find something greater than myself to recharge. And it took me a long time, many years, to figure that out because I was raised with the idea that you fix your own problems. You work hard, you put your nose to the grindstone, and you will be successful. And I tried that, and I did that, and I failed continuously. It wasn't until I was able to totally have a spiritual awakening and let go and realize that I was trying to do for myself what I couldn't, that I needed a higher power to do for me what I could not do for myself. And once I was able to step from that bridge of reason over the shore of faith, that's when all the changes started to happen. And we're going to see that with Bill eventually. I'm so glad that we get to read about his life because it really does help me identify in and remember what it was like and what it's like now. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kara L. Carrie G., you're up next, followed by Lorraine N.
Hi, my fellows. This is Carrie G., recovered in Colorado, and grateful to be on the line this morning. I saw I could not take so much as one drink. So this really strikes into my heart, this idea that I have to stay entirely abstinent. And I had, this Bill is showing us here that he's starting to understand that one drink is going to send him off. And so one of my coworkers a couple days ago doesn't know I'm in the program, doesn't know I don't eat sugar, offered me some sweets. And I just looked at her and I said, oh, I don't do that. And she was like, oh, really? Why? I saw I could not take so much as one bite. I explained to her, if I have one, I can't stop. If I have one, I don't ever want to stop. And so I think it's so important for just to identify that we have to stay entirely abstinent and keep things simple when it comes to the food. Otherwise, we're going to be right where Bill is, just completely hopeless, trying to run the show on our own. And just grateful for connecting with a fellow this morning already, just remembering that we have a solution. And for years, I forgot about the solution, and I would go back. And so today, I have 6 months of abstinence, and I'm really grateful for this program, really grateful that I get to work with others, and so grateful that I'm not running the show myself anymore, and that I can get quiet in the morning and listen to my marching orders. So thank you so much. I'm not with that. I'll pass.
Thank you, Carrie G. Okay, Lorraine N., you're up next, followed by Kathy C. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning. Thank you for your service and everyone that makes this meeting possible. And everyone on the line, I am filled with gratitude this morning. Surrounded by, pandemics and fires and unrest and whatever else is going on out there, I have my sacred time in the morning on this meeting. Let's see, I woke up, this had to be stopped, right. I just remember what this paragraph brought to my mind was my final binge, my final rock bottom binge. And I just had this visual of myself, and I actually sketched it. And I'm not an artist. I just happened to have my notebook and a pencil, and it was just this dark, dark figure in a dark, dark room, crying, sobbing, still eating, food dribbled all over the front of me and my bed and everything else. And I was 68 years old. And I just sat there thinking, my God, I can't stop eating. Am I going to live the rest of my life like this? I had been binging nightly for weeks at that point and put on 30 pounds between Thanksgiving and February. So that was my moment of surrender. I mean, it didn't feel like a spiritual awakening, but God knows I knew I needed help. And so I reached out to a sponsor in this program who's on the line, and I love you. And I just started to go through the process. I had no reason to believe after 40 years in and out of OA that this was going to work for me. But I was desperate, and I didn't want to live the rest of my life not showing up for myself, my family, my sons, my grandkids, friends. I mean, I just was in my room binging. So the process started. I agreed in my head. I thought, well, okay, God, damn it. I will just do what they say. I'll just do it and see what happens. And the magic started to happen. And the spiritual awakening started to happen for me. My heart softened. My everything started to soften and lessen. So I want to speak to newcomers on the line or anybody who thinks they're quote-unquote chronic relapsers. We're not chronic relapsers. We have a disease. And so there's healing here in this room. There is healing. This is a sacred place. So I just suggest to keep coming back and pray. I love everyone today. Thank you for letting me share. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lorraine N. And Kathy C., before we take you, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 5, the fourth paragraph. I woke up, and I'll be taking some more names after Kathy. So good morning, Kathy. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. My name is Kathy C. I'm a compulsive overeater from Montreal, Canada. Thank you, everybody, for your service. And this paragraph here today, it came to me that, yeah, I woke up every morning and I knew in my head this had to stop. And in my heart, I was always in pain that I couldn't stop. And I was through forever, and I meant it because I know I didn't want to live like that. Who wants to suffer like that, right? Like, I knew it in my head, but I just couldn't stay without it. I did not know how to live without it. Kept making promises, finding new diets, self-help, reading self-help books, doing other prayer, meditation, yoga. I didn't even know what that was all about until OA told me that, you know, I have no mental defense, because this is a mental defense, me trying to control what I don't have control over. I didn't understand. I didn't know what I didn't know. So it wasn't because of a lack of commitment or lack of desire or, you know, it was really a lack of power. And it says on page 45, lack of power. That was my dilemma. You know, I couldn't stay abstinent, and, you know, I didn't know. I wasn't happy with the food. I wasn't happy without the food. I was between a rock and a hard place. So I had to find a power by which I could live, because that was where my problem is, you know, living without any power. And I thought it was the food. I kept blaming myself. You need more willpower. You need to will yourself. Everybody could do it. What are they eating? You know, what are they doing? Oh, boy. I was just trying to, you know, fix the symptom and not really getting down into, you know, my real problem. The food was a problem, you know, but it wasn't the real problem. And so I needed another effect. Just like what the food did for me at that moment, or the reasoning behind, you know, picking up a little bit, is I wasn't able not to. I needed to change how I was feeling. So whatever I feel will always trump my reasoning, because that's what I do. I'm a compulsive overeater. This is the defective will. I have nothing else. I have a defective, you know, mind and body, but the will, it's unmanageable. So where am I going to get that? What am I going to become? How am I going to become willful? Well, I need to find this from a higher power. I can't be untreated. I cannot stay with the same, will. I need to will myself every morning. So this is what I don't work on my abstinence every day. I work on finding God, seeking God, His will for me. Am I God conscious today? You know, where am I today? That's where I work every day. And the abstinence will follow. Food will be removed. That obsession with food will be removed because now we're working on a different basis of life, of surrender to a higher power. Thank you, God. Thank you, everyone. I pass.
And thank you, Kathy C. Okay, who else who has not shared in the last 3 days would like to share on the fourth paragraph, page 5, I woke up?
Shannon.
Okay, I got Shannon and someone came in behind Shannon.
Evan U.
Was it Evan U or Kevin?
Evan. Okay.
Kevin, okay. Thank you.
Mo H.
Mo H.
Dottie W.
Dottie W?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, muster up your courage. I'll take some more names after these. So let's go. We have Shannon. I think it was T you said, Evan U, Mo H, and Dottie W. So go ahead, please, Shannon.
Good morning. Thanks, everyone, for your shares, and thank you for being of service, and thank you for being here. My name is Shannon C., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater through the grace of God. It truly is a miracle for my life, and I'm feeling a little emotional this morning because I'm so grateful to be reminded of how humbling it is, and, you know, how many sweet promises I made, not only, you know, with the earnest desire to improve my health and to stop this thing, not realizing I really did have a real disease. I didn't understand what compulsive eating really was. Didn't know that I had it. I thought I was like everyone else who, you know, getting older, you know, just battled with this thing. I can't remember a time in my entire life where I wasn't eating compulsively. That's a God's honest truth. I mean, there were periods of time where I would be doing okay, whatever. But I mean, I'm talking from the time I was a little girl. Food was my master. And all the sweet promises, not just with the food, but yes, I'm going to do better this time, Mom. I'm going to do what you say and mean it and then fail. Or I'm going to do whatever. I'm not going to lie again. I'm not going to, you know, to my husband, I'm not going to spend money like that, whatever, and really mean it. But that powerlessness, something inside of me just kept me from doing what I knew was right. And I kept blotting it out. And when the guilt, shame, and remorse would come from my failure, thinking that the guilt, shame, and remorse would spur me on to doing better, I didn't realize that that was actually more manifestation of self. So no matter what I tried to do in my own power and in my own thinking, whether it was trying to manage the food or be a healthy person in a relationship or do a good job at my work, I could not get past fear, resentment, self-pity, and I didn't even know what all these emotions were until I went through the steps. But I didn't know what my problem was until compulsive eating actually drove me to my knees, and I could see that I had absolutely no power. And like someone else had said, I'm gonna live the rest of my life this way, and I couldn't imagine suffering anymore. And so that's what drove me to, you know, I don't know if this is gonna work or not, but I'm gonna reach out for help. And I asked God for help. I was, you know, and I called a vision for you, and there was a lady sharing on special editions that just so happened to, you know, have room for another sponsee, and I begged her to help me, and went through the steps, and oh my God, every day that I'm abstinent, I'm just thankful to God for, because this isn't me operating in willpower. This is God doing for me what I can't do for myself as long as I stay in fit spiritual condition. And these steps address that spiritual malady that inevitably I'm able to stick with a food plan. I'm able to not think about food. I'm able to be of service. I'm able to thank you, to fail and then make amends and then learn and grow and help others. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Shannon C. Good morning, Evan. You are up next, followed by Mo H.
Good morning, everyone. This is Evan Yu from California. Thank God for visions, and thank you, Team Monday, for bringing it to us. I really relate to Bill, the notion that when he set his mind to something, he couldn't fix it. It doesn't even occur to him at this point. Like, of course, I'm gonna tackle this, and I'm going to do it. And I remember my first time through these steps, when it got to character defects, you know, which I'm supposed to humbly ask to be removed, there was no notion of that God was going to remove them. I had to work at it and do it because I had no conception outside of the food that anybody else was going to do anything other than me, you know. And today I realized that all of it, you know, I have an amazing life today. It is completely unmanageable by me. You know, the life I have is completely God-given. And when I try to, I go, hey, this is pretty good what I've done, and I take credit for grace, I realize very quickly that I can't manage it and I can't make it work. So this is a daily moment-to-moment, you know, letting go of self-will and trying to manage my life. The reality is this. There's no part of me that I can really control. And so I have to just surrender absolutely. And so step one becomes the most important step for me on any given day. Not just, you know, it's like, you know, not just surrendering food. It's like I have to surrender my whole life, my whole self-image, my whole need to be important, my whole, all my goals, hopes, desires, and dreams so that I cannot eat. Not just surrendering the food, it's surrendering the whole dang package. Because when I try to manage it, eventually it results in me putting food in my mouth that doesn't need to be there and doesn't serve anybody. So thanks for letting me share. Great to be here with you all. I pass.
Thank you, Evan Yu. Good morning, Mo. You're up next, followed by Dottie W.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. My name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. And thanks to all that are giving service on this Monday meeting and all those on the line. All right, I woke up. Well, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking all my years of eating and dieting and eating and dieting that I really never woke up. I would only wake up when my weight got to a certain point. And then Monday or the first of the month or, you know, New Year's Day or whatever, I would wake up for a short period of time. But then quickly after that, I would go back to sleep again and just be into the food until the weight got to a certain place and then wake up again. But I think I really woke up the last go around, which was about 5 years ago right now. October, November, December, where I had been abstinent for 5 years in the rooms, and but a white knuckle abstinence, and I picked up sugar, and I was having difficulty with some things that were going on, and I picked up sugar, and so I could not stop, and I knew what I was doing at that time. I knew it, and I knew how to stop it. But I wasn't willing until I got to 25 pounds heavier. And then I woke up and I called somebody and I told her, and she said, are you desperate and are you willing? And I said, yes, I am desperate. And yes, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And grateful. She guided me toward this meeting and I fell in love with it. And so I wanted to say after this paragraph, you know, he makes this resolve, you know, I meant business. But then the first sentence of the next paragraph, shortly afterwards, I came home drunk again. And I'll tell you, I made so many resolutions, but never kept them, never kept them. And it's not about making resolutions. It's about surrendering,
my will to God's will and God working in my life. And, you know, right now I'm really needing God more than ever to go be walking through these difficult emotions of grief and loss and loneliness and sometimes despair and sometimes helplessness and hopelessness. But I am, the food is the way it is, and I'm staying connected to God. And thank you for all of your support. And this program has really been a lifesaver for me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Mo H. Okay, Dottie W., you're up next. And after Dottie, we will be taking some more names on page 5, the fourth paragraph. Go ahead, please, Dottie.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dottie W., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Northern Virginia. And it's so good to be here. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service and everyone on the line. I just so related to a number of the shares this morning. I'm looking at this paragraph, and I look at the paragraph before this one when Bill has a promising opportunity and everything is going his way, and all of a sudden he finds himself on a bender. And it's what happens. It's what's happened in my life in the past. It's you know, things can go good, things can go bad, but there's always, you know, there's always that complete mental blank spot that I go into, and then I pick up. And to me, when he talks about waking up, it's as though, you know, it's as though I'm in a food trance. And I, you know, I go through the, you know, the motion of binging, and then, you know, the remorse, and then I'm back at the, you know, the restless, irritable discontent, and then I'm back to picking up. So, you know, and I agree. I mean, you know, I've made many, many resolutions. And, you know, this whole idea that they have to, that it has to be stopped, it's just another way that I'm trying to control the food. You know, it doesn't work. And so, you know, when I came into a vision, I was like 2016, I was so completely demoralized, and I was to the point, and I had also had some long-term abstinence, pretty much white knuckle, in another fellowship, and and I could not get abstinent again, and someone was kind enough to direct me to this meeting, and I remember telling my sponsor, you know, and I did get a sponsor. But I felt completely hopeless, and I would tell her every day, I don't think I'm going to make it. You know, I would commit my food. We would talk. She would give me an assignment. You know, I'd be going through the doctor's opinion, and, you know, and she would say, do you think you can make some outreach calls? Which I did, and I found myself a nice little group of people who are also at the same point where I was too. So we were almost Fine. Like a, you know, a pack of, you know, a little litter. That's what got me further in the steps and an entire abstinence really came through working the steps. So anyhow, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Dottie W. Okay, who else would like to share on the fourth paragraph, page 5, who hasn't shared in the last 3 days?
Hi, this is Elaine G. from Florida.
Alice. Elaine G. Who is the A?
Alice.
Alice A, okay. Anyone else? Okay, I'll be able to probably take one more name after these two. So go ahead, Elaine G., followed by Alice A.
Hi, this is Elaine G. from Florida, compulsive over eater recovered. The first thing that pops right out of those first three words, I woke up. I was in a sleep when it comes to this disease, not even aware of its existence, just going about my business. And that is such a pivotal, those three words were so pivotal for me to read and hear read this morning. For me, I woke up that morning. I walked to work, which I have a very long commute. It's from my bedroom to my other bedroom, which is an office, and I have to go through the living room. I got in the living room, and I woke up in the living room because I stood there and I yelled out to God, thank God I live alone. I would have scared someone if I lived with them. And I said, oh, my God, I'm eating myself to death. I proceeded to walk into my office, and I Googled OA for a meeting at 6:30, and it brought me up to a traditional OA meeting. Okay. About 2 weeks later, I was late getting to work, and I Googled for a 7 a.m. meeting, and thank God it brought me right to a vision for you. And even though I woke up that day, my real awakening came when I saw in the rooms the outward recovery, but I heard in the rooms the internal recovery. And I never looked back because for me, I wanted that. I wanted that. I didn't care what I had to do. That is what I wanted. And I am so grateful to all of you who share. I'm so grateful for everybody who does service because this program has changed my life. Changed my life. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Elaine G. Okay, go ahead, Alice A.
Hey, thank you. This is Alice A. in Alabama, a grateful recovered compulsive eater. I woke up. When I was working, I always thought the stress of working was part of my wanting to binge and eat. So when I retired, I thought the stress would go away. I wouldn't binge. I would lose weight. But the binges became worse. They weren't just a few a week. They were nearly every day. And at one point, I looked up everything online pertaining to compulsive eating that I could find. And there was nothing for me but OA and working the 12 steps. And it still wasn't easy. I still had binges, relapses, and after one, I called my sponsor. And I really kind of wanted to not lie about binging, but just lie by omission. But something happened when I got on the phone, and I had to be honest and tell her what happened. And I think this was my higher power telling me this. And I thought she would drop me. I thought she would say, you know, I've done everything I can for you. And I even thought about the next binge after she dropped me. But she didn't. As I like to tell her, she talked me off the ledge. And again, I think all this had to do with my higher power. If God didn't give up on me and she didn't give up on me, I couldn't give up on myself. And thank you for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Alice A. Okay, we are on page.
Sorry? Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry?
No, I thought you were looking for more people to share.
Well, I am. I am. What did you say your name was? Bonnie?
Right. Yeah.
What's your first initial, Bonnie?
It's R, Ronnie, and then B, Ronnie B.
Oh, Ronnie B, okay. Okay, Ronnie B. Okay, does anyone else want to do a share? Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead with Ronnie B. Okay, go ahead, Ronnie.
Yeah, thank you, Ronnie, compulsive overeater in Missouri. And, you know, one thing my sponsor does drill into me almost every time I talk with her is, where are you in 10, 11, and 12? So I have to remember that my recovery is absolutely not going to be based on my willpower, but on my spiritual condition. And I'm amazed at how many things make my spiritual condition unfit. you know, when I start thinking about resentments, when I start thinking about what other people are doing in general, when I'm trying to control something. So since I can't control my food now, I'm trying to control other things, but that control will just lead me back to the food. Because when I'm controlling, I'm not spiritually fit. And I was listening to all the shares about the binging, and I was thinking, it's been a while since I've done that. Not forever, you know. I'm coming back and very new at 10 months. But you know, I can remember thinking, I'll go to the store and I'll buy this much, and it'll last this long. And often before I got home, it was all gone. And then of course I'm off to the races, and nothing is getting in my way of getting to that food. And literally, I have to say it like this and shoving it in my mouth as quickly as I can, you know, almost like a hog in a pig pen. Really, that's not a put down to me. It's a reality of what I do when that food has a grip on me again, and how sometimes I don't want to eat around people when I'm in the binge. You know, like my daughter would buy X food and she'd say, Ma, I have a couple. I'm like, no, because you know, I have to have the whole sleeve, or I have to hold. She said, no, you can do this. Just have two or three. And, you know, I've had to learn to say to her, kindly stop asking me, because that doesn't work for me. And it's gotten a lot better. And you know what? Her foods are still around in her room. She doesn't have to worry about me taking stuff. I remember one day she bought something and put it in the freezer. And she said, Mom, will that be there when I get home? And I can remember the shame of thinking, oh my God, she's on to me. And how nice it is today to not have to do that. You know, the shame of my brother saying, take a piece of this cake. And that's a ridiculous statement to me, a piece. And then, so I would cut a piece, but it would be enough for what a normal portion would be for four people. And then, again, the shame, he'd look at me and say, wow, that's some piece. And the shame I would feel, because I would look at it and think, no, this is completely okay with me. You know, of course, then it would be back to the races. So going back to the recovery portion, only God has saved me from doing that. I am not capable of doing that on my own. And it's amazing how long it's been since I thought that stuff. Is that time?
That's time, yes.
Okay, thank you everyone for sharing. I'm done.
Thank you so much, Ronnie B. Okay, I have time for one more. Would someone like to share on this paragraph? Okay, we're a quiet group this morning, so I'm going to take a stab here. I woke up.
Maggie B?
You know, okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Maggie.
Hi, this is Maggie B. from Northern California. I'm sharing because my sponsor suggested that I share, and this paragraph, I just so relate to it. Today is one of my daughter's 40th birthday, and I remember 10 years ago coming into OA. It was another, branch of OA, I finally got abstinent, but it was, as I've heard, the white knuckle variety, and I never heard. And maybe they were talking about it, but I never heard about the connection to God. And I have been listening to, I've been on the Vision Line for probably over a year. And for the longest time, I kept on listening, you know, thinking that there would be another way besides God. And which I find really interesting, considering that I wanted to be a nun when I was 6 years old. And how did I fall so far from wanting to be connected to God? So listening over, you know, the months, I heard, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I did step one, step two. But to constantly be connected, you know, I would forget that whole amnesia. And I have to say, I really appreciate the special edition yesterday and building the bridge to God. So when I finally let go and I started, okay, well, what the hell, you know? I mean, 240 pounds I went back up to after losing 100, you know, and leaving that other program. So I started building that bridge to God. I didn't know I was building a bridge. And it has been the most amazing adventure. I'm still, you know, looking for the miracles. But the one thing that I did that I really appreciate is I heard somebody say to set your timer. You know, if you, how do I connect to God? And I did. I started setting my timer every hour so that I would think about God. And I love it when it goes off and I'm in the middle of a Zoom meeting, you know, and they're like, what's that? And I'm like, nothing. And I just quiet, you know, and close my eyes, and it's helped me out so much. And with the food, to be able to turn it over and not be white-knuckling it, it's not that I don't think about it. And I woke up today, you know, 10 years ago I started this journey, and today here I am 10 years later, and I finally feel like I'm building that bridge and, you know, able to cross over that bridge. And I just want to thank all of you so much. Thank you so much for being here and providing this platform. And I pass.
And thank you, Maggie. Okay. Thank you, everyone. It's so great to be on the line with all of you this morning, starting my day off this way. And thank you, Team Monday. Special thanks to all of you, Shelly E., Kim T., Margaret D., Lisa B., Kara L., Betsy H., Leslie M., and Mo H. Thank you so much for making all of us, helping to make this meeting work today. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Lisa B., would you please read a vision for you?
Yes, good morning. My name is Lisa B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.